Have their individual accounts.
Yeah.
How
it's like, well, have you consulted the puppy?
How to early see if it is wants too Instagram? Early? Yeah, how early is too early for?
Oh, I'll be like John C. Reilly. I won't even mention the names of my kids in interviews.
I think that's super classy and should be normal.
Right?
Yeah.
But go figure, now one of his kids is like trying to break into the music scene.
Yeah, well, and I'm sure...
He's like, thanks, Dad, for never mentioning my name.
Yeah, but I don't think the kid like lost ground, you know?
Yeah, true. Once a Riley, always a Riley.
Yeah. I told you, you know, one of these days when you want to be public, I'll help you be public. Is that a good John C. Reilly?
I mean, it's
the first real John C. Reilly impression you've heard, right?
Oh, well, I wouldn't call it a real one, but yeah, it's the first real attempt at a John C. Reilly.
Jesus Christ.
The journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step, and you just took your first step.
I did.
The destination is a good John C. Reilly impersonation. Can you pass me the bottle of wine?
The journey of one good John C. Reilly impression starts with the first step. Cheers to the new year. Cheers for the beers. Full throttle to the bottle. Happy to have you here, cuz.
Happy to be here.
Yeah, welcome. It's our first episode of the new year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's exciting. I feel good about 2023.
This is my first time seeing you since you took what's essentially like a life-changing tour of Egypt and Jordan. You just got back 2 nights ago?
Yeah, 2 nights ago. Yeah, it was kind of an Eat, Pray, Love trip.
I didn't want to say that. I came so close to
let the gay one say it.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
But my mom booked the trip. This was her Eat, Pray, Love trip, really. And I was able to just go along for the ride.
Your mom is famous for her extravagant itineraries.
Yeah. And like, she never splurged on like hype labels and stuff. Like, she never understood why I was so into like designer clothing.
How were you so into designer clothing and bags? Like, that was since middle school. You were like obsessed with designer. Like,
I'll say her name. Her name is Kim Angelos. Mm-hmm. And I think you met them. They were family friends of ours, the Angelos.
Oh yeah. Yeah, totally.
And even though they like leaned conservative, she was always super cool with me, and she had a safe.
That was Brandon's mom, right?
Yes, yeah. Brandon's mom.
Oh my god.
Brandon's mom, super sweet lady. Like, we just got each other, and she once, when I was like 12, yeah, was like, come here, and like showed me all of her safes.
She knew. Yeah.
Oh, she'd compliment my clothes and stuff.
Oh my god. Did it just like put you on cloud 9 when that would happen? Or like, you know, could you appreciate what she was trying to do at the time? Or
didn't have that much of a perspective on it. Uh-huh. But it was stimulating conversation.
Yeah.
More stimulating than the conversation I had with a lot of other adults and parents.
Mm-hmm.
But she once showed me her safe full, multiple safes full of like all these really rare Louis Vuittons, limited editions. So
do you feel like other parents, while she was encouraging you to be who you are and grow into yourself, did you feel like other adults were more like trying to get you on a certain track?
I suppose. I don't think for her she thought of it that way, though.
Right.
I think she just, we were interested in the same things.
It was more straightforward for her.
Yeah, in a way it was like purer than that. Mm-hmm. And I will say, though, that like, yes, the people that held me more to the fire,
mm-hmm,
you could separate that along gender lines. I think men, mm-hmm, were a little more like, all right, enough.
When are you going to get a girlfriend? Like,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
You're like, and his name's Eric.
Yeah, exactly. No girlfriends named Eric. But this is all to say, my mom was never into designer clothing, but she would go hard on these trips.
Mm-hmm.
As you know, we were like 11 years old, and she'd fly with us to New York, and there was a limo driver waiting for us.
Your mother is literally my fairy godmother. That is like the...
That's really sweet.
That's the perspective I'll always have of her. And that'll never, even as we grow up and like now I can pay for my own things or I can take my own trips. But like when Aunt Carmen was involved in any kind of familial, get together, trip, outing. It was like, we're doing this big.
Yeah. It's kind of a successful immigrant thing, I feel like.
Yeah, it is. It is. What immigrant doesn't like to ball out?
To flex. Yeah, flex on their haters.
Totally.
Yeah.
Which it's like, there's no haters. Like, we're all just here living our life, but.
Castro.
Yeah. She's like, he knows. He knows. Yeah. He knows what he did.
Yeah, catch me my limo with my son and cousin. And his
and yeah, he's gay. So what?
Yeah, exactly.
Which according to Castro or most Cubans, you know, certainly Cuban officials, there's never been a gay man in Cuba ever.
Yeah.
Cuba's and, so and, crazy
and homophobic. And that's kind of what was interesting about being in Islamic countries is they, I will say Muslims are more live and let live than I think they get a reputation for being.
Sure.
Well, at because least if you're a man.
Right. Oh, sure. Right. But, well, and media depictions too. I mean, we, you know, like the stereotype is the extremist or like the orthodox, you know? So
especially our generation, we were what, 10 when 9/11 happened. So so much of the rhetoric was around like, crazy jihadists and stuff.
Yeah. So, I mean, we just forget because of how, you know, news portrayal and like the extremist examples kind of like pull your opinion to that. That's what the norm is. But most people are so fucking similar. Most people have a live and let live attitude.
Yeah.
And yeah, we're raised.
Because they want to live, you know?
Right. Yeah. They're raised with cultural differences. We all are. So, you know, different values here and there, different perspectives here and there. But the general, you know, thesis of how we live our lives is shockingly similar.
Right. They just, but much like what you said about Cuba, I don't think they acknowledge that there are gay people.
Yeah, it's
like,
easier that way.
So many of our tour guides were like, why aren't you married? And I was like, and I found a very diplomatic way of putting it. I was like, well, it's just different where I live.
It's just... that is such a mic drop of like, a response.
Well, because we're obsessed with identity politics and stuff, and they're more communal. Mm-hmm. So it's more nuanced.
They're like, I want you to have a wife so I can invite you to dinner with my wife.
Yeah, exactly. And then we'll fuck each other. You
know, oh, shit, that's how they do it here.
Because I do think that they, not across the board, but I do think, how can it not? Gay sex happens in those places.
Oh, you bet they do.
But that doesn't make you gay. It doesn't. Like, at least in those countries, you know, it's just like two bros fucking.
Yeah. Nothing gay about that.
Nothing gay about that because you have to be a father. I mean, it's such a patriarchal society that it's up to the individual.
You're not a man unless you have unless you are a father or, you know, you haven't crossed that.
Yeah.
And who cares if you're a man who sucks dick, you know?
Exactly. As long as it's just not even part of the dialogue because it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So it's kind of bittersweet.
Yeah. Well, that's, and so, you know, now that we've talked about the cultural attitudes there, you know, the trip itself, highlights, you know, where was the moment where you found yourself?
Where I found myself?
I know it happened. I know there was finding
where
yourself.
Where was my Javier Bardem?
Yeah.
That's a good question. I honestly was like mystified by the desert that we went to in Jordan, where they've shot Dune and Star Wars and Lawrence of Arabia. Like, I've been in some really exotic environments, but that just felt like a different planet. It really did.
Yeah.
So that was a highlight.
I mean, just literal dunes as far as the eye could see, just like
mountains. With like really odd rock formations that were part granite, part sandstone.
Oh, wow.
So it looks like chocolate sauce or something. Mm-hmm. Like the texture of the rock. Mm-hmm. And I even said that to my dad. I was like, I feel like this is something George Bush would say if he went to this desert. It's like, it looks like chocolate sauce on a birthday cake.
Ah, Bush.
The headline's like, Bush says, let them eat cake. It's like, that's not what he said.
That's funny. When I went to Vietnam, a couple months ago, Halong Bay, which is kind of known for these limestone rock formations. You did a two-day cruise there. And, you know, you just haven't seen anything like that. You know, like we see mountain rock formations, interesting geography. But, man, to see this like limestone just jutting out of the bay and, you know, trees growing out of it and such like interesting patterns. It was just like that was kind of my breathtaking, my equivalent of like the dunes that you saw.
Right.
Like I hadn't seen anything like that before.
It's a vast, beautiful world to be living in.
It really is. And I'm glad that we're getting the chance to get out more because that was like my first international trip since COVID.
Oh,
you know, I've mostly been going back and forth from LA to Austin.
You know, me and my mom, we've had our Marie Antoinette moment peak COVID and went to Africa and went to safari.
Yeah.
Where like friends were indirectly calling me out in their stories on Instagram.
Really?
Like, if you're out there traveling during a global pandemic, and I'm like, sorry, we're stimulating the economy here during a very slow year.
You're like, they want us here.
They explicitly were like, thank God you're here. It's been a slow year. So again, nuance to these things. things.
I know. Yeah, it's a kind of narrow perspective. Really, and you know, both sides. It doesn't mean that both sides are wrong. You know, both sides are right in their own way.
The truth is somewhere in the middle.
It is. It is. But you know, like if I have to pick a side in this one, I'd lean slightly more towards yours, assuming that, like, you know, I'm sure y'all were safe and did what you had to do to get there and everything.
Yeah. There was no one around.
And you had told me that your tour guides there were, you know, they were like, they felt bad for America. They're like, we're praying for you guys because y'all are a mess.
Yeah,
you
know, you're being histrionic about it. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, you know, summer of 2020, when you went, it was like, you know, peak COVID, peak race, you know, like all the...
protests.
I'm trying to not say race riots.
Don't say race riots.
Because race riots sounds
our
bad.
Side calls them protests. Okay. The George Floyd protests.
The protest sounds so mild compared to what it actually was. Because I
saw smokestacks everywhere.
I was there.
It she was not on the like, front lines.
But it wasn't like anything I've ever experienced. I've been to protests here and there, but like, yeah, that
was... I have never seen army tanks rolling down Hollywood Boulevard.
Yeah, exactly.
That so was like, weird. I cried that whole week. I was just like, what is going on with our country?
I'm going to go to Africa.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to support George Floyd by going on safari, bitches.
And I'm sure him and his family were very appreciative that you went out there. The Lord knows the economy there was.
Yeah.
Very appreciative.
Yeah.
So what have y'all done for black people lately? And I leave that challenge to my listeners.
Listen to SZA's new album. I mean, do the least, people.
It's the least we could do, guys. Watch fucking Glass Onion. Watch Janelle Monáe just fucking kill it in that.
She's very good in that.
When I watched the movie, and obviously there's a twist in it, I won't like spoil it, right? But when I was kind of watching the early part of the movie, I was like, you know, like, she's okay. I'm not like buying it right now. But then when the twist happens, then all of a sudden you're like, she did the finest fucking acting job.
Totally.
Yeah, yeah.
Because she really has to keep track of, like, continuation, continuity in the script.
And we won't,
without saying too much.
Right.
And I also thought Kate Hudson was, like, once again, a revelation.
Just home run.
Because the spirit of her mother moves through her. You see that cheeky grin.
Totally.
With those curly blonde locks. Yeah. And I'm just smitten. I can't help it. I love the Han Hudsons.
Yeah. The Han Hudson Russells.
The Han Hudson Russells of Hollywood.
Yeah.
Dynasty.
An underrated dynasty, if you ask me.
Totally.
And it's because they play it perfectly.
Yeah.
You know, because they know that if they ever got too big, it's going to flame out, you know?
Yeah, they seem like relatively private people.
They're as big as they want to be, too.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And she gets the job. I mean, I don't know. Oh, you read that Nepo Baby article in New York Magazine?
Oh, well, it's funny because I talked about it on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Okay.
Which is something that we all know. We literally live and work and audition amongst these people. You know, we're literally living in the world. We're living in their world. That's literally what we're doing. So the fact that someone brought attention to it, I'm like, I don't expect anything to be done about it, but I guess people are talking about it. But that's no different from every fucking industry.
I'm not surprised anymore when someone's like, oh, Chris Pine's dad was a screenwriter or something. Or,
of course he was.
Yeah.
His mom was a casting director or something like
that. Oh, was she? Yeah.
Well, I don't know, but there are a lot. Giovanni Ribisi, fantastic actor. Mom was a casting director, you know?
Really? I
mean, yeah.
Wow, I was like, he really pulled himself at the bootstraps out in God knows where in Brooklyn.
Robert Downey Jr.
Oh, yeah.
Is a junior.
I knew that one.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
I knew he was a junior.
But, yeah.
We lost the thread, though.
You were talking about the Nepo Baby, the articles on the Nepo Babies, Kate Hudson, Kurt Russell.
Oh, right, and dynasties. I don't know, I lost the thread, and you know what, that's okay. I guess it wasn't meant to be said.
You know, didn't want to be too big, you know, they wanted to keep it a certain level.
Yeah.
Otherwise they'd flame out.
Yeah.
They're happy with where they are.
Mm-hmm.
It'll come back to you.
And there are good Nepo babies out there. You know, hashtag not all Nepo babies.
Who?
Liza Minnelli.
Who's your favorite?
Hello.
Okay.
Liza Minnelli.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. But I guess more contemporary Nepo babies.
Dakota Johnson. Okay. She sings for her supper every time. She sings for her supper. She knew how to bite her lower lip.
Who is she related to?
She's Don Johnson's daughter.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go.
And Melanie Griffith's daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And Antonio Banderas' stepdaughter.
Miley Cyrus.
Imagine that, Antonio Banderas being your stepdad when you're like 12 years old.
Yeah,
I try to fuck my stepdaddy.
I was about to say that's where all this step sibling porn started, was probably Antonio Banderas, and then Dakota Johnson had a thing about it, and
she's got great taste. I highly recommend to all your listeners, gay and straight, watch her Architectural Digest video where she walks around her house like showing Architectural mm-hmm. Digest all the different details.
She knows what she's talking about.
Well, she's making shit up because they like stage a big part of it. Like there's like a bowl of limes that they uh-huh. put in her kitchen.
Yeah. Oh, you show me this. Yeah. And she's like, there's limes here.
Because we love limes so much. Like,
that's funny.
And she points to a wooden table in her backyard and she's like, this is wood made from Winston Churchill's yacht. And now that I know that she made the thing up about the limes, I was like, that bitch was lying about that wood being from Winston Churchill's yacht. But what a great, fantastic lie. Like, yeah. She'd be a great improviser. I'm like, that is such a specific, odd detail.
And that's funny that, like, well, she's like, what the fuck's going to happen if, like, people are like, no, it's not. Like, am I going to get in trouble?
Right.
You know?
And she called out Ellen on TV.
You when?
And
how and why?
She had a party that she was talking about on Ellen. And Ellen goes, well, you didn't invite me. And Dakota...
Bitch, I don't know you.
No, Dakota said, actually, I did, Ellen.
Oh, that's funny.
And I think she said, like, outright, like, you're lying or something. It was, like, such a baller move.
That's funny.
She also locked people in... Dakota Johnson also locked people inside an intelligentsia with a scarf. She tied a scarf around the outside door handles because mm-hmm. they got her coffee order wrong. Like, that's how you act like a nepo. That is just, like, gold. I just love her.
That is peak privilege.
Yeah, but like, I don't know, she's having fun.
But playful privilege.
Yeah, playful privilege.
I'm an elite, so I'm gonna do it.
Yeah.
Teehee.
Yeah, I love Dakota Johnson. There's so many good examples of Nepo babies, actually.
Well, yeah, that's why the fucking article existed, because that's most of Hollywood.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We gotta our
kids.
Yeah, our only shot is having kids, really.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, but that's the thing. Ironically, I don't even want my kids to work in entertainment unless they absolutely want/kind of have to in a way. Because yeah. I think there's like a necessity to being in the industry that like it's just a part of yourself that you can't give up in a way.
Right.
So unless my
kid... And I don't find it to be noble work, to be honest.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So I don't... Yeah, I'm
not... So many actors are like, you know, we're revealing, you know, we're showing a mirror to humanity. And I'm like... Bitch, like...
Well, as true as that might be...
You're doing, like, disaster movies. Right. Like, you know what I mean?
As true
it's about that... climate change. Like, stop. It's a volcano movie.
And there's a difference between the art of the craft and the business of it. You know, those two things are shockingly unrelated.
That's the biggest reason I'd won an Oscar. It's not even for the prestige of it, but just, like, so you could keep working.
Commercially.
Yeah, it's just, like, so you get more offers.
Yeah. Oh, and that automatically increases your quote, you know, forever.
Right. Yeah.
Oscar winner Julian Goza forever. Oof. You know, and that'll be there
Oof.
For the lifetime of your career.
Yeah. Nepo babies, Egypt.
Your time is up, guys.
we're wheeling and dealing today, baby.
Look out for the Guantanamo Bays.
I need tracks.
We're coming after you.
I need to put this train on its tracks, Brian. Give me a prompt.
Hey, babe. All right. Well, you know, there's a something I want to try out here. It's new. You know, you're pretty much a regular guest. And we're
you want me to put this blindfold on?
And can you play piano here? And some stuff is going to be happening around you. Just ignore it.
Ew, I felt something wet.
Yeah, just don't worry. That's part of the test. It's part of the test. That's what all Nepo babies have to do at some point. When they're 12, they have to play piano blindfolded at an orgy. And then after that, you know, they're...
Yeah, so don't say they didn't earn it.
Yeah, exactly.
Because they are highly disturbed from that experience.
Yeah, yeah. And, like, we're all looking for the invite, but, like, once you get the invite, you gotta suck it up.
You gotta suck it up.
So, I did want to try a segment here, and this might be a good time for the producer to play some unlicensed transition music. We'll leave it up to Grant. But I do want to try something here because I love your I love your takes, your immediate, like one of the funniest things about you is just your reactions, your immediate reactions.
I'm a reactive person.
You're a reactive person, and you'll say the first thought that pops into your head, even though deep down you know, like, well, the first thought of anything that anyone has is rarely the correct thought. But that doesn't mean that it's not valid or accurate in its own way, because it's worth examining, well, why does our brain go there, right? So, okay. In the spirit of that, and I love your mind. I love your brain.
I like yours, Brian.
Thank you. I love our brains together. But I did want to try to segment, and we're, you know, working title. We're going to call it The World According to Jules.
Whoa.
I know. A lot of responsibility here. So I'm going to read you a headline of an article, something that happened in the world, in the U.S., just a news story that happened. So a couple headlines. Okay. Here's one. This one kind of hits close to home, I think, for both of us.
Oh.
So for starters, Trader Joe's was sued by a consumer who accused the grocery store of misleading and endangering shoppers by selling dark chocolate that contains harmful levels of lead and cadmium, which is a metallic element, atomic number 48.
I eat lead almost every day. That's a great prompt for me, Brian. I love lead. I eat it all the time. That's
what
why
do you mean you eat lead?
I don't eat, like, I eat literal lead. Because, like, it's in a bunch of Mexican candies that I eat.
Oh.
Yeah. Like those, like, tasty, like, Tamarindo like candies.
Lucas have lead in it?
Allegedly has lead in it.
Allegedly, like, someone, like someone accused.
And I'm not giving it up. Sorry. And there's my asbestos in my walls. I don't give a fuck, Brian.
So you're just gonna, well, I don't want to say like slowly poison.
That being said, they should label it.
Mm-hmm.
At least Trader Joe's should. Lucas doesn't need to. It's Mexican
candy.
You
know what you're getting.
You buy that off trolleys on a beach. Like,
yeah.
You buy that off wheelbarrows.
I'm sorry, the Surgeon General's not gonna help you there. But Trader Joe's,
come on.
You're better.
And they sell Dole bananas now, and that's fucked up.
All right. Yeah.
I mean, I don't think there's a single banana out there that's not Dole.
Did you know that bananas went extinct? Like, the banana.
I believe it.
The banana that we know today is not a banana that existed as recently as like 50, 60 years ago.
Were they little? I think they were small.
They were like actually, well,
like
I don't know.
Plantain little.
Well, they were like bigger. They were like rounder. They were like rounder, kind of like more.
Out.
Sorry, I just want the small bananas.
Yeah.
No, and they were apparently much tastier. The banana that we know was genetically modified by like an old banana seed.
Mm.
And so people claim that the older bananas were way tastier, you know? So the ones that we have now are like relatively bland compared to what, like our parents.
They were sweeter probably.
Yeah. But isn't it crazy that like a whole, I mean, this is banana fruit vegetable? Like, what the fuck is it?
It's a fruit.
It's a fruit, I guess so.
Come on, Brian. Well, but it's like an OG fruit.
Fruits have, like, seeds in them, right? And
don't bananas have little seeds?
Tiny, tiny. And, like, you kind of eat them, you know? So you don't really clock them.
Yeah.
You know,
because pomegranates have seeds you eat.
Right, but those are way more obviously seeds in my mind. When you bite into a banana, when you bite into a banana and you see the rings around it, you see the tiny seeds, you don't really register that those are seeds.
That's, yeah, yeah. But what else would it be? A long leg.
Okay, so fuck, it's a fruit, okay? I get it. It's a fucking fruit.
Yeah.
But it's crazy that in our parents' lifetimes, there's been one of the most popular fruits to ever exist does not exist. The bananas they grew up with don't exist.
I know.
How crazy is that?
It's sad.
And I wish I could have tasted one.
I bet you have, Brian.
No, they went extinct.
Like before our lifetimes?
In the 60s.
I was like, when we were seven, we definitely had access to
no,
bomb bananas.
No, it was in like the 50s or 60s.
Oh, that's so sad.
I know. As some kind of
can we reverse engineer them back into existence?
Well, they tried, and that's the fucking bananas we have now.
Damn.
That's the best they could do.
Damn.
I don't know if they've given it another stab or if they've slightly modified
it over
the years.
They cloned a sheep like 40 years ago.
And you can't tell me we can't get a regular fucking banana.
I hope Dolly the sheep is still alive. But
I doubt it, man.
I doubt it.
Yeah, how long do sheep live? Can't be like sheep. You know, that was 20.
That was 1997.
Yeah, six or seven, I think. But mid-90s. So, I mean, Dolly would be damn near, you know, she'd be like 27. That's
the old-ass sheep.
Yeah. Dolly's dead, dude.
Dolly's dead.
Coco the gorilla's dead. Dolly's dead.
Fuck.
Coco just died in the last couple years.
Really?
Yeah, like a year or two ago. You know, so Coco lived, I think, to be like 70 something. Coco is a legend. You know, the gorilla that did sign language.
Oh, okay, yeah. Okay. I was thinking of Harambe, who really cornered the gorilla. Yeah. I was like, was it that frequent that recently?
No, it was Harambe, who did not live to 70, unfortunately. I don't know how
that
Harambe
was. Such a disturbing news story. I was like beside myself.
The video was terrifying.
Yeah, the video was fucked up.
Yeah,
but of course, it's everyone's reaction around Harambe that got him all riled up, I think. I mean, of course he has the capacity to kill this little kid, but like,
And he was fucking that kid up, dude.
He was?
I mean, he was, like, dragging him around, you know? Like,
Well, that is his territory.
Well, yeah, no shit. I mean, like, yeah.
I'd like to think that the gorilla would be like, oh, we're related. And, like, be one of my children.
I think so, but definitely, I'm sure, just felt antagonized. And, like, you know, when you feel antagonized, everyone's gonna have, like, a negative reaction to that. And, like, when you're a gorilla,
that's why I never act antagonized.
You never act like you're being antagonized?
Yeah, because then everyone's reaction around it ends up me getting a bullet in my ass.
I think I've seen you act antagonized and get a bullet in your ass before. I've seen both sides of that.
Yeah. Next all question, right, Brian.
Next one. All right.
She should have sued, but it's okay that it was in it.
All right. So that's where we're landing at with Trader Joe's and the lid. Next news story. Don't roll your eyes at me. It comes from the world of sports.
Okay.
You're probably aware of what happened in the Bills and Bengals game.
Like the Super Bowl? Or?
No.
Wasn't there like a big Bengals game like within the last year?
So a couple days ago, it was Monday Night Football. There was a player who suffered a cardiac episode, like an acute cardiac arrest.
Oh, shit. After being That's hit a heart in attack, chest. Right?
It was a heart attack.
Oof.
They did CPR on him for 10. I saw this live. It was scary because there's a tackle. And it's not a serious tackle. Like he gets hit in the chest, which and you have a chest pad. You have like pads for this.
Uh-huh.
And the league places this huge emphasis on no head hits because
of concussions.
Yeah, concussions and head injuries are like the hot button issues. So like totally legal tackle happened, and this happens in sports. It's happened in soccer, hockey, lacrosse. Usually in sports where a puck or a ball hits your chest. If it hits your chest in a certain spot during a certain timing in your heartbeat, you will experience a heart attack.
Oh, it's like Kill Bill.
It's
you
it's
know
pretty
how
much
she learns that trick
exactly like
where
that.
Where she's cutting through the wood
and
she
spoiler doesn't... That's how Bill got killed. Yeah. if you haven't seen it by now,
I was gonna say it's been long enough. We're fine.
Yeah, yeah. And Bill dies. So anyways, I saw this happen. I was like.
That's disturbing.
All the players were crying, and they're doing CPR on him for 10 minutes.
Was he on the Bills or the Bengals?
He was a Bills player.
Oh. See, I love the Bengals. Walk Like an Egyptian, great song.
It is. The football
they did that, right?
Different, yeah.
Okay.
And yeah, I know you're on an Egypt kick right now. But it was scary because the tackle happened, he stands up, and then collapses. So they did CPR on him for 10 minutes. I thought he was dead. All the players were crying. Like it was kind of like almost assumed that he was going to pass away. He woke up. He's alive. He's able to communicate via writing. And the first thing he asked was who won, you know? And
poor guy. Poor football players.
And I only want to bring up this news story because right now it's trending in a happy direction. Just because he's awake and alive. They don't know if he's going to fully recover, but he's responsive now, which he wasn't for the last 2 days or so. So with that said, you know, that was a big news story. That's like kind of what a lot of people have been talking about last few days. And I guess that happened probably like the day you flew in or the night you flew in.
Well, that's why I missed it. Not because it was football.
Not because it's sports, right? It's both. Let's be honest. It has.
I was trying to watch the game on the plane. Couldn't get any Wi-Fi.
But man, no reception.
So I ended up watching Chinatown. And then literally watched Chinatown on the plane.
You did?
To get back into like the LA mood.
That's so funny.
It's a pretty good movie.
What, this isn't the band, the Bengals. This is Walk Like an Egyptian. What the fuck? I guess,
go for it.
So he woke up. He's responsive. He's alive. But he fucking... so close to death, probably was legally dead for a little while there and is essentially resuscitated. But what are your like takeaways?
You know, my knee jerk reaction is to like regulate the NFL more because
mm-hmm.
I'm right? sorry. Like those guys walk around like veterans with PTSD. I mean, it's such an abrasive sport.
Mm-hmm.
But also, like, there's UFC out there. And, right. like, we come from a long history of gladiators and people subjecting their bodies
sport
to
sport has always been
torture.
Part of, right? And, I mean, you know, original sport was just literally making a spectacle of killing.
Yeah.
You know, a spectacle. Yeah. And now...
So how far we've come.
I mean, technically, it's just because it's not, right? and the death is much more slow. The death is much more, you know, the breaking down of the body happens after you retire. You don't really see the effects of your career until after you retire. And then it's not until they get mass data. And they already had the data of the people that have died prematurely or suffered mental issues and stuff like that. And it wasn't until... And, you know, the NFL did everything to suppress stuff related to head injuries. That's kind of what makes this interesting, is that this was a cardiac episode, which is very rare in football. Mm. Only one person in the history of football has died on the field over 100 years, you know, which when you consider is like,
yeah,
that, you know, that's shockingly little.
Were they losing, Brian? Not to be like a nasty Reddit conspiracy theorist, but I'm like, what if he's faking it, bro?
No, it was very early in the game.
Oh.
It was middle of the first quarter, and it was shaping up to be a really good game.
Fuck.
Yeah, I know. And it was
that's
like
also a bummer.
It was Monday Night Football, and like this sounds crass, but like fantasy football is a big part of football culturally. And so
you bet.
Well, I won't even bring up all the implications of my team. I'm going to talk about fantasy as a whole, because like, yes, there were a lot of like fantasy implications, but I think like part of what added to this conversation is that this week was supposed to be the last week of fantasy football, and this was the last game of the last week because it was Monday Night Football. That's
so they've extended the season.
No one knows what the fuck to do fantasy wise. So there's just all these. Oh. So you know, on one hand, it's like thoughts and prayers. You know, we got to keep in mind what's important.
But like, am I getting paid or not?
Exactly. So this has been like a big part of my world.
We'll start placing bets on how much you'll recover. How about that? If you want to really be crass about it.
Yeah, we're not going to cross those lines. Too much bad karma. But
I'm happy for him. I don't want any of these people to get hurt. But also, they're men of free will.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And that's what he would tell you. That's what a lot of the players would say.
The first question, as you said, that he asked was who won? I mean, this guy's in it to win or lose it.
Mm-hmm. Just extraordinary
I salute him.
Commitment. Yeah, extraordinary the. So, a good buddy of mine, Aaron Cobb, his brother played in the NFL. And I met his brother. Just like, he played for UT, you know, got drafted, played in the NFL for 7 seasons.
I find him attractive, Brian?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. The average NFL career is like 3 years, and he played for 7 seasons. Wow. So he had a great career, right?
Wow.
He, and in the NFL, and like Aaron told me this, but like it's 100% all the time. It's go, go, go. You give every day 100%, all that stuff. So you just have this work ethic instilled in you. So after he retired, he went to go work. I don't know if it was like an insurance company or some kind of like, you know, corporate environment. And he like basically whipped everyone into shape there, got promoted. And the HR lady, who was like an older black woman, so she could kind of speak to him more directly. Mm-hmm. But she told him like, you need to calm down because you are scaring people. And that was like such a funny story to me that like,
let's go.
Yeah, he was so successful.
It's 9 a.m. Let's go.
He was too successful.
Circle up.
He was doing too good. He was just doing too well and getting people to... You know, just squeezing all the productivity out of people. Mm. And this woman's like, dude, you're doing great, but like too good. So calm down, you know. But his wife's a doctor. They have kids who are going to be, you know, probably athletes too. So, you know, I don't weep for that family. But
even in the realm of acting, I'm like, you lifted how much weight to be a Marvel superhero? Like, and, you know, that's like a tenth, I feel like, of the sacrifice that these guys make.
You get on that Hollywood HGH regimen.
Right.
You know, and then, you know, I'm not saying that it's not a lot of hard work because it is, but it's like you're in there. Now you're fast tracked to this whole new lifestyle that you're experiencing.
Right. Right.
But you're getting extremely well compensated for it. So it doesn't even, I mean, I'm sure it feels like work, but. Like,
I'd be curious to see how much he made this past season.
But if it was my full-time job to get in good shape, I'd be so good at it.
Yeah.
I would have no problem giving it my all. That sounds way better than making sales calls all day.
Yeah. Joe Manganiello, do you know him? Sofia Vergara's husband, who was in Magic Mike.
Yes.
Super good looking guy.
Yes.
Jacked.
Right.
But he talked about how, like, as a struggling actor, one of the few things that he could control was just bulking up.
Mm-hmm.
And he knew that he'd be one of the more noticeable guys in these audition rooms because he was so jacked.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Some actors do apply that kind of mentality of like, I will be the best physical version of myself.
And if I was able to like focus on acting full time, like fuck yeah, you know?
Yeah.
I'd be all about it.
I know. I wonder that with people that are muscular. I'm like, how do you find that much time in the gym?
They're either on supplements, which nothing wrong with that. It's a lifestyle. You got to commit to it. Or they're doing that full time and they have other means of making money. Like, I don't know. It just kind of depends.
Yeah. And I guess working remote now, you could... I don't know why you're not doing more crunches during your sales call.
Bitch, you know I put in the work. I'm trying, man. I sneak in what I can.
Did you go to the gym today?
I did.
Good for you. What'd you do?
I did... You know, I always start with, like, on the stretching machine, which is nice. And then I did...
The stretching machine?
Yeah, there's, like, this contraption. You could stretch your legs and, all, you know...
Is it a workout?
Well, that's how I warm up, okay? That's how I start. Okay. That's how I start. I'm going through the full regimen, so don't give me that look. All right, stretch.
You're getting soft.
Shut the fuck up. I did weight crunches. We'll glow up. You know that weight machine where you crunch?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I did that. I did chest, like the kind of chest butterfly.
Mm, yes, that love those.
I did curls. I did curls.
It was an upper body.
I did 5 rounds on the punching bag.
And that is great exercise.
Because you always need the cardio.
Yeah.
And then I did one other thing. It wasn't... Oh, and then I did a shoulder, you know, my shoulder extension. Or nice. Is that good enough for you?
I mean, I'm not like, damn, that's intense. But I'm like, that's good.
I had to meet you here to record this fucking thing. I was in the shower when you showed up, if you remember. It's because I got back from the gym.
I went to spin class today and it was my 70th. No, it's hard and it's long and it's intense and talk about cardio. And the teacher that I'd never had before, really went resistance heavy.
Mm-hmm.
So it was pretty rigorous, but it was my 75th class.
Wow.
And so they do a handwritten thing saying congrats on your 75th class.
That's cute.
It was super cute.
Yeah. Did you feel like special? Like, do you feel like, oh, I'm acknowledged in a way?
Well, they did it with Sharpie and it was like really decorated, the little piece of paper. So I was like, some dude, sweet girl.
That's how
took like 5 to 10 minutes to decorate this and make it look sweet.
That's how spin gets you. You know, that's the cult mentality behind it. Like, ooh, recognition. Ooh, like it's no different from like being on a sales team and they're doing shout outs, you know, and stuff like that.
Well, spin class is gayer than a sales team.
You could, yeah, I guess you could.
Yeah, we're like crying to Beyonce, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Like while you're just like fucking peddling your ass off.
Yeah,
like,
exactly. We're a sweet
friend. I know that's Sia, but. So, yeah.
So are those the only questions you have for the world?
No, bitch. No, we got more. So good to hear that you're happy DeMar Hamlin is awake and alive and well.
And like, don't change the NFL because these men have free will. And I think you're infantilizing them by like trying to protect them. They know what the score is.
Right. Well, you know, you're still, that's the thing. Now more data is available. That's the NFL was suppressing data when it came to head injuries. So people did not know they know the risks more now and they're still choosing to play. But now they're trying to play safer. They're trying to, you know, et cetera, et cetera.
I think good PR would be the NFL just being like, hey, we know it's destructive to your body and your brain.
I disagree. That would be bad PR.
No, but if you want to play the game, you know, this is how it goes.
You know what's fucked up?
So like, it would like reinforce the whole brand of it. It's like, this is for men, you know?
Well, but that's not a sexy brand anymore to make those hard gender lines.
Isn't sports.
Here's the thing. And this is something that I've wondered. So 5 years ago, the narrative around football was it's too dangerous. It's giving you brain damage.
Uh-huh.
Now the narrative is we should have women play football. they're making that narrative. And now I'm like, why do you want to give these women brain damage then? You know, like why was
we're equal opportunists in this country, Brian, for better and for
why
worse.
Why was this dangerous 5 years ago and now we're trying to get women who, like, you know, if you are...
Even though I am on that side, I'm like, fuck, whoever wants head injuries, go for it.
Well, yeah.
I'm like pro-euthanasia, bro. Like, if you want it, do it. Who am I to stop you? Well, live and let
slightly
live.
Slightly different, right?
Well, in what way? Well, euthanasia's final or what?
You could say that, you know, it's a final and it happens immediately, you know, and the NFL or sports, you're taking risks on your young body that won't be felt until you're older.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's really hard to predict the future. But well, like, yeah, I'm just
now we're getting to really hot takes, but I'm like, euthanasia should be legal for anyone over 18.
Maybe, you know, who the fuck knows, man?
Yeah.
All right. Are you ready for the next story?
Yes.
Okay. So, and this is the saucier one. So, of the other ones, this is like the cheese may one. So, a woman
Oh.
Oh, here we go. Here we go. Poisoned her veterinarian husband with animal euthanasia drugs in his coffee.
Oh, what a great segue.
Yes.
His coffee.
He's 70. She's 50. She's the hot young thing. Following the wedding, you know, they got married kind of recently, right? So, and he's 20 years her senior.
How successful a veterinarian is he?
Successful enough to want to poison.
Because, well, you're making some fast and hard allegations, brother.
Well, here's the facts, bitch. So following the wedding.
I love that we call each other by proper titles.
Yeah. Brother, hey, I didn't go to 8 years of bitch medical school to be called Mr., okay? It is bitch Julian to you. Following the wedding, Amanda Chapin forged the signature of one of her husband's children on a
Rewind.
Okay. The woman who poisoned her husband.
Uh-huh.
She forged the signature of one of his sons for a power of attorney document to basically give her ownership of his assets and then started poisoning him. Is this filling out the picture a little bit more
for
you?
The word iconic comes to mind. We stan.
So,
capitalistic money-grabbing queen, we stand.
According to the criminal complaint, Amanda Chapin violated the restraining order. So there was a restraining order against her in September when she sent her husband a suicide note via email, writing that she had decided to kill herself because his children would destroy her, quote unquote. She repeatedly denied poisoning him. One of my favorite quotes from the email, quote, "The only thing I'm guilty is loving you so much." So much is all in caps.
Okay, she's crazy. Well, but.
Yeah, go ahead.
I want to know more about the kids. Who's to say they weren't nasty as fuck to either of them, much less both of them? Like, I'm sorry.
But what the kids didn't do was poison him.
Well, you got me there. But also how, but.
So, yeah. So let's assume they're small little brats whose dad was a doctor. You know,
she needs to be on Real Housewives. What city did this take place in?
If she's not, I mean, but those housewives do end up in jail in real life.
Yeah, you know?
So it looks like she did the jail part first.
Yeah.
And then you're not allowed to profit off of your crimes after you've been prosecuted, after you've been charged. You know, if you...
Oh, you can't go on a book tour.
Exactly.
That's fucked up.
Well, you can't profit. I guess
if you're falsely accused and stuff.
I guess you've been. You know, I'm sure there's nuance and gray areas in this law, but that's just one thing that I've heard. I'm pretty sure that's true.
Wow. So much for unfettered capitalism.
Right?
Like, let the prisoners do a book tour.
Who'd have thought there was caps on this, right?
And I guess that's where I'm going with this. I want to see her in the public eye more. I think she's interesting.
Isn't this part of like a fetishization of like killers, right? Murders, like
But female killers hit harder. I'm not gonna watch Dahmer. You can't tell me to.
Exactly.
Watch
right. So why would you? Like, I guess you do this because it's female, right? It's not that women don't murder, but there aren't as many female serial killers.
Yes,
women are very selective with their
targets.
Well,
and something about poison is so domestic in nature. Like, it's so like the way a 50s housewife would kill her husband.
It was a common, so it was like a line.
It's like, I put all the Oxycontin in his, you know, his whiskey.
It was a line often used in Game of Thrones. Whenever they bring up poison, they'd be like, oh, poison's a woman's weapon. You know, so like that is a thing.
It is. It's more like psychological and like drawn out.
Mm-hmm. There was a case of one woman who put a... what's the fucking most popular type of poison?
Arsenic?
Arsenic, yeah. She put an arsenic pill in her husband's Motrin. And he took Motrin often. So every time he reached for that
bottle. He shouldn't have been doing that.
What, getting Motrin?
Yeah. Don't give yourself Motrin all the time.
Maybe not often, but often enough to the point, we all have a bottle of Motrin in our bathroom cabinet, you know? So... on all the times that he took Motrin, she was just like on razor's edge being like, is this the one? You know what I mean?
Oh, I see. I mean, that's, yeah, they were both suffering then in that regard.
And you know, I mean, and also, you know, I've had my experience of being in a relationship where suicide was threatened.
I was like, Brian, no one tried to poison you.
No one tried to poison me. Well, you know.
Not physically.
No, but the whole, if you don't do this, I'm going to kill myself and it's going to be your fault. I heard that a lot, you know?
You really made an impact on her. What I'd give for someone to threaten suicide to me.
It's not as fun as it sounds.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, it was very dark times, but it's like, this is right out of that playbook. There's just like a, this is a menopausal version of it. You know what I mean?
Go off.
Well, it's fine. When you're 70 and you're looking for a hot young thing for a wife, and the, you know, 50 is like the still age appropriate version of that.
You got it coming.
The hot young thing you're going for is now menopausal, you know? So there's a whole dimension to this.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, I don't know enough about the case to give any hot takes other than I'm intrigued by this woman. You know, if Anna Delvey's gonna sell paintings, why shouldn't this?
What about her psycho notes? Like, what do you make of that? And like the emails and the I'm gonna kill myself and all that stuff. And I guess her dynamic with his sons and stuff like she's obviously coming like a wrecking ball, trying to blow it all up and swindle what she can.
That's more what I criticize is like the lack of tact. Mm. You know what I mean?
She could have been more elegant or just wait it out. You know, like. He's 20 years older. Men die first anyways. So chances are you're going to have a good 25 years of all of his shit.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, the emails.
Can you not hack it out for another?
On the son's behalf, I think, were where she really fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
But how else do you get power of
attorney? No. She forged the signature.
That's what I meant to say.
Yeah, but like signature forgery, right? Like that's clear as day. That's like textbook.
I feel like I'd be good at forging signatures. But the problem is if the person whose signature you're forging is alive.
Have you ever forged
then you're fucked.
Your parents' signature?
Yeah, on like little things.
Like report cards?
No.
Okay, because I did that once.
Maybe I
confession.
Did it.
Confession.
You're forgiven, I think.
Yeah, I got in I'll a lot
on,
of trouble.
On
my
behalf
mom,
of God.
My mom has a shockingly illegible signature. My mom has
really?
Like the worst handwriting. Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
How's your dad's handwriting?
Good. Just fucking solid.
Yeah. My mom's is very feminine and curvy. And my dad's is quite to the point. It's nice. Really nice print. He has great print stuff.
Yeah, so does my dad.
Yeah.
Yeah. And my mom writes in like this print and cursive hybrid. You know?
Oh, sometimes that's really pretty.
Not when she does it. My Alicia Bogart has many great qualities. Her handwriting is not among them. I always have bad handwriting, and
that's true, Brian. No offense.
You motherfucker.
It's so bad, but I feel like most straight men have.
It's improved a lot, and I wrote my parents a card this year.
It gets
like,
better.
Yeah,
I'll tell you what they told me, Brian. It gets better.
My parents. Remove your face a little bit for the camera. Yeah, we're gonna.
I know.
Yeah,
but I want to angle it, but then if we cut away, it'll look all fucked up. I'll just scoot close then.
All right. Okay. But yeah, I wrote my parents a card this year, and you know, part of the card.
Do you
was
not
like,
normally write them cards?
Well, no, I do, but the punchline of this card. No, I guess I do for a lot of stuff actually, but okay. The punchline of this card was like, and also, oh, actually, it's because it was like a random card. It was a Thanksgiving card, which I don't like. Who the fuck gives a card at Thanksgiving? But I was going to Austin, and so I saw this card. I was getting cards in general for other people, and then I happened to see this one. I was like, oh, I'm going to Austin. I'm gonna fucking write him a card. Fuck that. And then in the card, I was like, and also, look how much better my handwriting's gotten and stuff like that. So, even though we don't write with pens or pencils anymore these days,
I know. I kind of worry about that.
Yeah. They don't teach cursive in school anymore.
That's too bad because cursive is stunning. And mine is really good.
And it's deep-rooted in, I don't know, tradition? I don't know what you want to call it. Like,
It's easier. You don't have to lift the pen back and forth, but I guess you don't need a pen at all. So that's the whole...
Patton Oswalt has a funny joke where a signature is not valid unless it's in cursive. So if you are signing a document... He's like, you can't just write your name. It's like you need to take your name and make it go ooh, and then it's official.
Totally.
Which I thought was a funny bit, but
I really like my signature. It's taken me a few years to really hone, but now it's really gorgeous.
One of these days, it's gonna be worth something. No, I think I like my signature.
Yeah,
because signatures don't matter if you have shitty handwriting.
Yeah,
it's almost a bonus.
I probably shouldn't reveal this, but my dad doesn't have a consistent signature.
That is hilarious.
Like, he'll just, especially if it's digital, he'll just, like, do, like, a finger
flourish. Well, no one has a consistent digital signature.
Speak for yourself.
Well, okay. Not
and mine looks
one.
Like a little butterfly, the J and the G connect. It's
but I
really
see people
lovely.
Write happy faces and shit. You know, like, I see people just, like, write random characters.
That's so fallible.
Mm-hmm.
Or falsifiable.
I think fallible is a good word for that.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. Fallible, you know, prone to mistakes, or like it is a mistake in its own way.
Well, like it's easy to falsify.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah,
sure. fuck.
So stop putting smileys on your digital signature.
Yeah, actually write a signature, people, and learn cursive while you're at it.
Yeah.
But that was the world according to Jules. Did you have fun doing that?
I love being asked my thoughts and opinions on things.
Was it less nerve-wracking
than you thought? I think the whole podcast should just be you asking me these questions.
That's definitely the direction it's trending, and I'm not complaining about it. Do you have any...
Because you're my voice of reason.
Right. We are...
Outside of this podcast.
I know. We are kind of the ultimate straight man, zany man kind of thing.
Totally.
You know, like who's on first, you know, like... Except I guess they're both kind of zany in that.
I don't know
the Abbott and Costello sketch.
Oh, I'm ashamed to say I've barely seen Abbott.
Yeah, it's just two guys riffing and
playing. I mean, I know of them.
Right, okay, fair enough.
Not us. Yeah.
But with that said, I mean, do you have any final thoughts? You know, we're going to be wrapping up here pretty soon.
What time are we at?
We're at like 50 minutes, dude.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Let's get high and watch a movie after this.
That sounds good. That sounds good. I'm looking forward to it. Well, with that said, from Brian Bogart Has a Podcast, the podcast... I'm Brian Bogarts.
And I'm Julian Goza.
Thank y'all, and good night.
And Happy New Year.
Happy goddamn New Year.